This is Brock and Salk
from the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming everywhere at 710sports.com and the 710 Seattle app.
Morning, Brock and Salk, Friday morning, getting ready for the weekend. Hope you're having a good day. Hope you're going to have a good weekend. Should be beautiful after today once again. So go out and enjoy yourself. I'm going to be celebrating. Got a big birthday party at my house this weekend.
Oh, Cecily, you do?
Big four-year-old birthday party. Oh, absolutely.
Really?
Man. Oh, yes.
Mowing the grass. Everything going to look good.
I tell you, you know that I've been patching up my grass.
Yes.
I've been doing a lot of yard work out there, Brock.
So. You and Cisco. You had Cisco out pruning and stuff? Yeah.
I think I'm actually going to be taking over for Cisco based on what I've done with the grass out there.
It's looking that good?
No, it's not. Oh. Actually, it's kind of patchy. And some's growing in really well. Some isn't.
Gosh, I got a wedding to go to. The first wedding. Smalley and I were talking. I don't even know the last wedding I've been to.
What do you like to drink at a wedding?
10 or 15 years, not much.
What do you mean?
I don't know. Diet Cokes, waters, not much. I don't need much.
I don't understand what you mean.
I don't drink a lot at weddings.
But do you dance at weddings?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Now I'm thoroughly confused. Oh, I don't understand. There's a causation issue here.
No, you can.
I can't dance without that.
Yes, you can.
No, I really cannot.
Some would say you can't dance with it.
No, but I do. I'm not saying I do it well, but at least I will actually act upon it.
No, I don't know. Nope.
You can just go to a wedding,
yes.
Not consume alcohol,
for sure.
And then get out on a dance floor and have no problem.
1,000%.
God love you, man.
Yes, sir.
There isn't a snowball's chance that you know what.
And
I
guarantee
that.
You this. It's Dory Monson's daughter getting married, and I guarantee you this.
Woo!
I will be requesting Footloose at some point.
Well,
I don't know what they got. I don't know if they got it on the old iPad.
The wedding DJ doesn't need your request.
Well,
don't be
it.
That guy.
Oh,
please.
He's getting it.
Kyle, do you think that was your problem with the first dance at your wedding, that you hadn't consumed enough to drink?
No, I definitely consumed enough to drink.
Before your first dance? At your own wedding? No, you hadn't.
I mean, before the dance? Before
he's
the ceremony?
Come on.
You had not.
I was feeling pretty good.
You were?
It may not look
why
like
was it.
It
not good?
His dance, we talked about
it.
Oh, dude, it was so sad. When people started feeling bad, like, oh no, oh, this is terrible. He didn't go take classes. Oh, he didn't complete them. This is so sad. Poor Caitlin.
I didn't grow up in the Northeast where everyone dances a waltz.
We did not. We danced the foxtrot.
Like
how
every
dare you?
Wedding I've ever been to.
How dare you? It was a foxtrot.
Pretentious elitist.
Let's go around the NFL.
Dance a waltz.
Let's go around. On the NFL. The waltz.
Ochento, Blanco, Listo,
nobody dances a waltz anymore. You got to find some song that's in 3/4 time for the waltz. You got to go foxtrot. Brock, which of the rookie quarterbacks is going to have the best season?
Can I be a jerk here?
None of them?
And just quantify best. Best by wins, best by overachieving, best by stats, best by...
Brock,
Josh Rosen has a
which
chance.
One will have the best?
Josh Rosen has a legitimate chance to have the best season of any of these rookies.
Why?
He's got Larry Fitzgerald. He's got David Johnson running back. He's got a few more pieces.
Isn't he not going to get to play because they have at least some semblance of a real quarterback?
They got
ahead of
Sam Bradford ahead. Sam Bradford, right?
He's going to get hurt though, right?
Yes. He's got those debilitating knee ligaments and was not able to get the Israeli cadaver ligament in there. So. He's got debilitating injuries, and more than likely with their O-line, he's going to be debilitated, and Rosen's going to get a chance to put up a bunch of yards. I mean, the reality is Josh Rosen, I think it was Trent Dilfer I was chatting with about that. Josh Rosen could have multiple 4,000-yard seasons in the NFL. In fact, if I had to totally hedge a bet, I think he will have some 4,000-yard seasons in the NFL. Now, will it be on 4-win teams? Quite possibly. So if Best is coming in and like putting up numbers, he may be the one. Josh Allen struggles to throw it, struggles to see the field. Baker Mayfield's got a bad team. I think Tyrod Taylor is going to own a lot of that responsibility early. Sam Darnold's behind Josh McCown and Teddy Bridgewater. They're going to be careful with him. I'll tell you, I was reading about Lamar last night. Lamar Jackson there in Baltimore overwhelmed their rookie minicamp. If Russell Wilson did it 6 or 7 years ago, you listen to John Harbaugh, he sounds like Pete Carroll 7 years ago with Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
Lamar Jackson may be a guy that gets a real opportunity with a good defense and to run around and make plays. Push comes to shove, I'm going to say Sam Darnold. Okay. I will not back away from that, but I won't be surprised at all if Rosen has a productive
year. I'm going to go with that guy Maya Rudolph in Pittsburgh. I think once Big Ben ends up with an injury and he's got,
Mason Rudolph.
Maya. I'm going with Maya.
Okay.
His sister, Maya Rudolph. She's great on SNL.
Seriously, who you got? Who are you rooting for the most?
Baker.
Are you really?
I'm rooting so hard for Baker Mayfield. I want him to shut everybody up. I want Cleveland to be good, and I want Baker Mayfield to be good. I think that would be so much fun.
What will?
Don't you think?
What will Clayton honestly be like? Will he beat Charles Barkley?
He might quit the business.
Remember, Barkley after game one was so down.
You know exactly how John will be.
Game, season's over. Sweep. They're going to sweep. The Warriors are going to sweep. He was done.
Brock.
And then he did a 180.
There is a roadmap to how John will handle this. You've heard it before.
Okay.
Go back to the day after Tim Tebow beat the Steelers.
That was not going to happen. That was a zero. He gave it a 0% chance.
And what happened when it happened?
They beat him.
And what did John say the next day? Well, I didn't know that the safety was going to fall down and he was going to throw a miracle throw.
Still a 0%
He will do
chance.
The same. He will blame the Browns for their own success.
Okay.
Well, I didn't know that Baker Mayfield was actually going to be good, and I didn't know that all these draft picks over the last couple of years were finally going to get good.
And John Dorsey's finally good.
Who's their coach?
Hugh Jackson.
That's the problem.
That's
the thing keeping me from saying that Cleveland might actually pull this off.
What is Hugh Jackson's record as a head coach the last 2 years in Cleveland?
1-21. 1-20. 1-31. Excuse me. I can add.
1-31.
There's 22 guys in a field. There's 16 games in a year.
That was a tough watch for me.
They're 1-31. Sorry. Don't ask me to do math. 32 minus 1?
All right.
22? 21?
What's the Mariners record right now?
That is a problem, though. Seriously, for Baker Mayfield.
Verde, ochenta, listo, hot.
All right, here's another question for you. We're going around the NFL here. Who has a better year? More quarterback conversation. Dak Prescott, who we discussed earlier, or Deshaun Watson? Because it was not that long. Here's my thing on Dak. A year ago today, We're sitting around talking about how Dak Prescott's the future of the NFL. Remember when Russell used to do all that stuff? Because Russell was coming off the injury.
Yes.
And it was so sad watching Russ hobble around and not able to do all the things he had used to been able to do.
Yeah.
And Dak, meanwhile, was running wild and running the read option and running out of the pocket and making little throws and handing the ball off to Ezekiel Elliott.
Yeah.
It was so fun to watch Dak.
Yep.
And a year later, everyone's like, Dak, not even part of the gang anymore.
Yep.
Sorry, you're out of the club.
Yep.
So is Dak really good or not?
Dak flinched last year. I don't think there's any question about that.
Did he?
He flinched. I watched that Seahawks game really closely. He flinched. He just sort of grabbed the ball a little tightly. Did not have the security blanket of a running game. Not have the most dominant offensive line in the year. His left tackle, Tyron Smith, was banged up. They have moving pieces up front. And he flinched after a rookie year where you were right. He just blew it out of the water. Unbelievable. With that supporting
cast.
So what
is it? Sophomore slump? Or was that really who... Did he get exposed?
I think he faced the adversity of the NFL and he squeezed it. Now,
I know you don't have to right now. So you've got 2 years before you've got to make this call. But if you had to make a decision right now, are you paying Dak?
Not right now.
You're not paying him? No. You'd let him walk?
Right now, I've got to see him now respond to, year two and make the appropriate adjustments. But you know what? The beauty for them and for all of us is we get year three. You get year three with Ezekiel Elliott hitting the ground running with an O-line and Tyron Smith that's back at left tackle. And yes, you lose Dez, and yes, you lose Witten, and yes, you lose some of those pieces. But I think he's going to be fine. If I had to pick between those two for 2018, I'd take Deshaun.
Me too.
The AFC South is a whole lot easier than the NFC East. Okay, the Philadelphia Eagles are still there. The Redskins are not a bad team with Alex Smith. There's not an easy gimme there, and even the Giants are going to be better and have, I think, had a tremendous offseason. So... give me the AFC South. Give me Deshaun Watson with Bill O'Brien.
I'll
give
bet
me
on
the
Deshaun
guy
Watson.
Last year.
But it is funny. I mean, he could go through the same sophomore slump that we just saw from Dak Prescott, right? All of a sudden, everybody's kind of on to you. He only played in a few games last year. He came on late and then got hurt. So, we're kind of judging it on, six, seven games that he played a year ago?
Yeah, was it Richard Sherman said something here recently, or it was played up recently, a soundbite of him saying Deshaun was the best they faced.
Yeah. That's pretty.
Yes,
pretty high praise.
You're just.
But Sherman's also full of it. I'll say.
By
this.
By the way, did you see Sherman video him running yesterday?
I did not.
First time, first time running full speed, sprinting.
Good for him.
Be ready for training camp.
I am in a bind with Dak Prescott, and I bet you a lot of people are as well. I bet you you're rooting for Dak, but can't because he plays for the Cowboys.
Mm.
It is one of those challenges. Dak is such a likable kid, and I'm rooting for him to succeed. I really enjoy watching him play.
Yep.
But if he succeeds, then the Cowboys succeed, and I'm not up for that.
Yeah. Now he does have a little more inconsistent release, right? He's got a little longer delivery. He's got a little bit of McNabb in his delivery that leads to, I think, some accuracy issues at times.
Well, I'll tell you this.
Between those two,
I'm betting on him. If it were me right now,
I would pay him right now.
Well, I mean, I thankfully don't have to.
Right.
But if you gave me the choice of letting Dak walk or paying him, I'd pay him.
Okay.
I would put money on Dak being successful instead of kind of frittering away. I think he's got the personality for it.
Yep.
I think he's got all the athleticism too, and everything you need. I would put my money on Dak as opposed to against him right now.
51 es el Miguel. 51 es el Miggy.
Did you go Miggy?
Dude, Lydia
51's the mic.
Lydia got a little chuckle on that. How is that Spanish, Lydia? Pretty good?
Wait, no. I mean, Kyle's is amazing, yeah.
Is it excellent. Really?
If Kyle was on, like, called your house and spoke only in Spanish,
Toma.
So you didn't know who,
Hola.
Would you believe that he was a native speaker?
Absolutely.
No. Wow.
Yeah. Hola, ¿cómo está usted?
Come on. I can't tell. Come on.
A lot of text messages coming in, by the way.
Lydia, can you give me a cadence at some point?
No, Kyle's too good at this. Don't worry about it. Next.
Only reasons to go to a wedding, family and free drinks. Brock, attention whores don't need alcohol to get up and dance, so
whoa,
I guess that's the problem.
Whoa.
Shot fired.
That is mean.
Yeah.
Wow.
Hey, Brock, when you're at the wedding, do you dance like the car dealership noodle man?
Wacky, wavy, inflatable arm, flailing tube man. Wacky, wavy, inflatable arm, flailing tube man.
I want a video of that. I want a video of that. All right. If things do not get better for the Seahawks this year and they don't make the playoffs and then become eligible for Hard Knocks next year.
Yes.
A, will it happen? B, how awesome will it be?
Yes. Both and both.
Pete will not be happy.
That's
he does
okay.
not want
Sorry,
any part Pete. Of Hard Knocks.
Sorry, you know what? You've earned this opportunity. If that happens because you did not make the playoffs and, you know, you're around here. So.
I wonder if Pete would quit because of that.
I don't think so. I think you would have to then just capitalize on the opportunity and just say, man, here's a chance for us to really pour out and show what we do. And, you know, they'll still have there's some editing, some editorial say that they have in what does go out in the end. But I think it'd be awesome. I don't know if I want it this year. I think this year, as it gets retooled, I want stuff cranked up behind the scenes.
You know what I would actually
I want
like?
It, I want to get back to some. I don't.
Can we go back and do it like 3 years ago? That would have been awesome. Can you imagine if Hard Knocks had been here the year Cam held out?
Ooh.
That would have been fascinating.
Ooh.
Hard Knocks behind the scenes as Cam Chancellor doesn't show up at all of training camp. That would have been incredible.
Yes. True. True. Is that the year that Wickersham was out riding or the year after?
Year after. Yeah. Wickersham was later.
Later. Okay. Yeah.
But how crazy would that have been?
Yes. I think people would be most surprised because we get a little peek behind the curtain. We get a little bit closer than the average bearer.
Yeah.
I think people would be most surprised at just the incredibly competitive, hostile environment. And hostile, like, we want to turn this thing up to 10.
Mm.
And not from just a... I don't know. I mean, it led to fights quite often. It led to skirmishes. It led to just the heat being on. I don't think Pete Mines turning the burner all the way up to 10 bit more than his peers.
All right, so let me ask you this. Let's say, put yourself in the position, all you guys, put yourself in the position of being the head producer of Hard Knocks. You're in Seattle this year, just for the sake of this conversation. Hypothetical, okay? You're not going to Cleveland. Instead, Seattle is the team this year for Hard Knocks.
Ooh.
What are the stories you want to tell? Who are the guys you want to follow home?
Yep.
Who, you know, who do you want to get to meet? What rookie who's on the bubble?
You mean if HBO just did a 6-week documentary on Shaquem Griffin?
Yeah,
basically.
Yeah,
that too.
It'd be Shaquem and Shaquille, right, living together, being reunited, the twins, that aspect of it, and obviously Shaquem by himself.
Who's the bubble guy you want to follow to see whether or not he makes the team?
That's a good question.
It's got to be one of the undrafted guys. Some fullback.
Puna
from Hilton Head, South Carolina. 5'11", 300.
How much time are you spending with the new punter?
Quite a bit.
Like, is he a big part of what you do? Michael Dixon?
His family is amazing.
Really?
Yeah, his family that does, like, one road trip to watch him in Texas, but other than that, would get up at, like, 2 a.m. to watch all his games, and they're
awesome.
Just cute as ever. Yeah.
I think you would see Dwayne Brown be a lot more of an alpha.
Mm.
I think as you look at a group and say, okay, where's, you know, because they kind of have that, too. They like to feature kind of a veteran guy that's...
Okay.
Hey, man, who's the one that's just going to put a rookie in his place or be the one to say the tough things?
Which veteran do you want to go to his house and see his sweet pad? Like, they always have that, right, where they're, like, the veteran. You get to see their pool and
Russell
all the cool
Wilson.
Stuff they have.
Yeah,
but Russell's not doing that, so who do you got?
Oh, how come I can't do Russell?
Because Russell says no, so now what?
No, Russell says yes, but it's got to go through the tracing
app. Right, so that's
first.
What I'm saying.
Yeah, you have to leave the cameras at the front door.
That's
right,
mean.
He won't do
I
that.
Scratched that.
So who,
that was really
is it Doug?
Why did I say that, Lydia? That was not nice.
Bobby? KJ?
I'm sorry, Russell.
I mean, it's Earl Thomas.
Yeah, it is. You're going to Earl Thomas's house to see all the weird stuff he's got there,
yeah.
Right? Earl, why do you have a sarcophagus in your house? That
Earl,
seems
why
odd.
Why is there a, like a relic from like a tribe in
why
the
is there a
here?
Lego castle with a real moat?
Especially now that Sherm's gone, because Sherm brought that sweet house.
Right.
Yeah. It's Jamal Crawford's with
true.
The full
and
basketball.
Then, and then everybody put the address online. That was really sweet.
Well, I wouldn't say everybody, but the Seattle Times did, yeah.
That was great.
Earl, why you got two tigers?
There's definitely a dragon somewhere, because dragon blood, right?
All right. That would be Seahawks Hard Knocks.
Who would, hold on. Whose would you be a little scared to see?
Whose house?
Yeah. Not even just like environment. Like, I don't know if I want to follow
around. I
think
also
that.
Earl.
Yeah, clearly.
I don't know. Frank would make me a little nervous for some reason. He's been on the straight and narrow for 3 years. I'll give him a lot of credit, but I'd be a little nervous with old Frankie.
Yeah.
You're twitching over there.
Blanco 50, Blanco 50, not.
Can we just get an audible, please?
Vamos, vamos.
What's easy, easy?
Fácil, fácil. You always get on me for saying easy too aggressive.
Right, easy.
Fácil, fácil.
There you go, there you go.
Say that.
I like this question. I'm going to ask you, Salt.
All right.
Which departed Seahawks going to have the biggest impact on his new team? And we all know you hate when Mariners got traded. You rooted against every single guy.
I'm rooting against all these guys.
You're rooting against every single one of them.
Yep. So Jimmy, Sherm, Sheldon Richardson, or Paul Richardson. Those are my choices.
Sure. Or Eddie Lacy or Luke Jokel.
Those guys don't have a team.
Michael Wilhoyt.
They don't have a team. That's not nice.
Luke Wilson.
Blair Walsh.
Yeah, you can put Luke Wilson, Blair Walsh.
Yeah, I guess.
Blair Walsh doesn't have a team.
No, you're right.
Let's be clear.
Let's try it out. Isn't that a bummer? Those guys that you gave some serious cash to last year don't even
it's
have a
bummer
job.
And it's kind of eye-opening.
Yeah, yeah, don't even have a job in the league. Who's going to have the best year out of those guys? I got my answer.
I think Jimmy Graham will have the most like numbers year.
Yep,
he's going to be in a great fit for him.
Yep,
I think Sheldon Richardson will actually have the best year. But I'll tell you what, that guy fooled me last year. Yep. I'm mad at Sheldon Richardson.
All right, here we go.
All right. Here we go.
Let's go.
I mean, I'm not, like, violently angry or anything, but, like, that guy fooled us. He was supposed to be really good, and he wasn't. What's the deal?
Yeah, you want him more. They want him more.
Why wasn't he good?
You gave up something for him, and in the end, you were willing to offer 1 year and $6 million.
Yeah, look, what's the deal? Like, I can understand what happened with Jimmy Graham. That was on
them. Push comes to shove. Don't tell me he played great. Don't try to fool me with he's doing his job and all of that. You were willing to pay him 1 year and $6 million. That's it.
And Sherm... I don't know.
And by the way, the rest of the league was only willing to give him a one-year, $8 million deal. So it wasn't like the rest of the league was coveting his services as well. Isn't that a bummer? Can I just have a little bummer minute here? A bummer that the rest of the league looked at Luke Jokel, who, by the way, tapped out after four games and had a knee surgery that he didn't play through. So right. I think the rest of the league said, yeah, thanks, but no thanks. The rest of the league said, Eddie Lacy, not even chance, not even bringing you in our building. The rest of the league said, Blair Walsh, sorry. You know what? Your 70% kicker can't win with you. The rest of the league said, Sheldon, as far as D tackles go, even in a lean year.
But those
year,
other ones don't bother
even
me.
Even in a lean
the
year.
The other ones
D
don't
tackles,
bother me the same way. There's
the
something about Sheldon Richardson that just kind of gets under my skin because I thought he was really good. And I don't understand why he wasn't. It doesn't make sense. He should have been really good while he was here. He fits with what they're trying to do. He's got the right body type. He's the right style player. He should have been that interior pass rusher.
You actually
should
got him.
Able to do all that.
You actually got him when I want you to get guys.
Absolutely.
Totally incentivized.
And he wasn't good.
To blow it up and have a monster year.
That just bugs me out. So I don't know. Jimmy Graham will have the best statistics.
You know who could have a sneaky good year is Paul Richardson.
Really?
Alex Smith is a guy that's pretty good in taking some of his shots. Jay Gruden's a pretty good coach at getting guys open, and in that system, in a West Coast system that Alex is going to walk into incredibly comfortably, they're going to have 3-4 shots a game to him. I don't know if he can stay healthy for 16, but as far as a system fit of the right coach and a quarterback that's been there and done it at a pretty high level, he could have a sneaky good year, kind of like Golden Tate did, kind of like Jermaine Kearse did, kind of like some of the receivers that have left here and had some production around the NFL.
All right, what's going to be the deal with the kickoffs this year? So you're not allowed to take a running start anymore? The kicker can, right?
Well,
that's what I thought when they first said it. I was like, these kickoffs are going to go like 20 yards. Like,
so they just want the punter to kick?
You just one big leg swing and boom!
I mean, as it is, they only take three steps even before the kickoff. I'm always surprised they don't take a longer running start before a kickoff.
Yeah, they should Happy Gilmore that thing.
And yes. Now we got the Chantel Osahor of kickers in the league. Economy of effort. Sebastian only takes like two steps.
Right.
Janikowski.
Fat boys. Bam.
He ain't running 15 yards.
No, he can't.
Nope. So, yes, they want...
Does Sebastian Janikowski actually take Sigs out to the field with him?
He actually took the chew can and had it in his sock, which I always marvel. Yes. Yes. Now, I think when he does his actual kickoffs, he throws it out.
That's nice.
Oh, yeah, pregame and everything else.
All right, so I think they're going to allow the kicker to take a full running start.
Yes, all the other guys, no running starts. And then they're also trying to, like, move all the other guys. Like, eight guys got to be up, so you're not getting, like, running starts. So they're going to have kind of their joust begin 10 yards.
So it'll look a little bit more like a punt.
25 yards down. Yes. Yeah, I think so. Yep. So there just isn't the massive.
I think that sounds kind of. I'm, by the way, I'm okay with all that. You?
Well here's the. Here's
I think
what
it should be kind of fun to watch.
Here's what I'm not okay with, and it is what I think many people believe, is this is just going to not be good. It's not going to be effective. It's not going to look good. And then the league can say, you know, I'll just scratch it. But this is just kind of the in-between, the intermediary that just doesn't really work.
Mm.
And it's going to give them then the room and the opportunity to say, you know what? Just ditch the whole thing. We tried. But it didn't really look good. It didn't feel good.
That will be a bummer. If that happens, I'll be upset. If this is a slippery slope, I'll be upset. Because I love kickoff returns.
Yep.
Always have. Which is better? The beauty of a kickoff return or the beauty of a punt return? Did we do that last week?
I think so.
You guys were talking beauty?
Yeah.
Well, aesthetics.
It's an old beauty patch.
Do you like the aesthetics of a kickoff return touchdown or a punt return touchdown?
Kick.
Why?
Kickoff. I just think it has more time to set up. The punt return, all the action's kind of built right at the line of scrimmage. Kickoff return, it's spread out. You kind of more tactical.
Yep.
I think there's a little more.
And generally, you have that one move to beat the kicker, which is, usually you just outrun the punter. But you get that one move to beat the kicker to around the 40-yard line, which is sweet. I hope they don't go away. Okay. I really do enjoy kickoffs.
By the way, I love around the NFL. Thank you for that. I got one more question. Around the Hard Knocks was fascinating to me. Okay. Which coach would you want to follow? So they always kind
of... I don't know any of them anymore.
There's kind of a coach that always takes that thing over in Atlanta. It was Mike Tice and Brian Cox smoking cigars and just being nasty and vile and everything else.
Mike Westhoff with the Jets.
Yeah, there's always a coach kind of grows into a role. Which Seahawk coach you think would kind of take that on?
I don't know them well. You'd have to answer that for me. I don't know. You?
Yeah. Years ago, I think it'd probably be Cable that would be the most fascinating from a teaching standpoint, quite honest. Probably Norton. I think it'd be Ken Norton, just fire and brimstone, and just him just off the cuff, and you know, I think he'd probably.
I mean, really, what I would want is a full behind the scenes John Schneider.
Just that too.
Follow John wherever he goes for 6 weeks.
How uncomfortable!
Oh my God, he would hate it.
Uncomfortable.
Imagine how much Schneider would hate
every
this.
Word, brother. Like just it would.
Like just looking over at the camera. John, don't pay attention to the camera. No, and he just keeps looking over at the camera. John, just do your job normally. Don't pay attention to the. He just keeps looking at the camera.
He'd be like, service, fix that, Howdy, fix that, you know, after he says, I don't like that at all.
All right.
Can we dump that?
Dump it immediately. All right, coming up next, Brock, I want to come back to this because the more I think about it, the more I think this is as typical as it gets and as obnoxious as it gets, and it's none of it should be a surprise. It's all coming up on Brock and Salk.
This is Brock and Salk.
From the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Here are your hosts, Brock Heward and Mike Salk.
By the way, Lydia's been playing great music recently, especially. Just a quick public service announcement when it comes to music. I think they're my favorite band out now, and they just released a new album. Didn't even know it was coming out because they just kind of fly under the radar. But if you've heard Walking Papers, the new album is awesome. And if you haven't heard Walking Papers, it's Duff McKagan's new band. They released an album a couple of years ago. It is awesome. It is so good. And the new one, I just started listening to it within the last day or two. You know that feeling when you were a kid, when albums were albums, right? When you'd get a new tape at the time, or even a new, like an actual record, if you're that old.
Head on down
CD.
To Tower Records.
Oh, yeah. Strawberry's record Rifle tapes. Trust me. Newbury Comics for a
Sam
wicked
Goody.
Good time. All right. So if you would go to Coconuts, anywhere you would go to pick up your music, you get a new album. And for me, it was mostly tapes, but you'd open it up and you just start listening to it front to back. You'd back in those days, I had time, right? So I'd just sit down and I would open an album and I'd put it in the tape deck and I would get the liner notes out and I would listen to every single song on that album and read the liner notes for it. And if it had lyrics, I would read the lyrics. Mm. I would if it was an album I was excited about, I would memorize that sucker immediately.
Wow.
And just really like consume it. It was so important to me. Man. This is one of the first albums I felt that way about in a few years. It's so good. And really? I just started listening to it. Huh. Best new album I've heard since the new Alabama Shakes came out a few
years ago. What kind of music? What kind
of just a rock band.
Just a rock band.
But they've got they're awesome. They're so good.
Huh.
And so I
Walking
really want
Papers?
Just called Walking Papers. It's Duff McKagan's new band. They put out an album, I don't know, I want to say it was like 3 years ago, that was phenomenal. It was one of my favorites. And the new album is great. I just want them to come back to Seattle because I missed them when they were here.
Great.
So that's just a public service announcement. Okay. If you're interested,
thanks.
That's just something I wanted to tell you.
You're very passionate about that.
I am. I loved it. I was
pretty passionate today.
I am.
Yeah, you are.
It's Friday.
Yeah.
I had a lot to get out.
We sure do.
Well, I wanted to give you the positive side of the ledger because I'm also going to give you the negative side of the ledger because I'm really happy about that album. As soon as the show is over, I'm going to go listen to that for the rest of the day. We're driving over to the east side. I'm going to be listening to Walking Papers. I'm excited about it. I can't wait to get back in my car to do so.
Okay.
But in the meantime, I want to talk about this Mark Teixeira thing. So good old Mark Teixeira.
Was on with Michael Kay yesterday.
Yes.
As you've heard, some of these different Yankees guys, and he referenced Brian Cashman, the GM, who almost slipped last week or earlier in the week, talking about Cano and some of the concerns they had about his PEDs, or at least speculating that maybe that was a part of it.
I'm just torn on this whole thing because I think Robbie deserves, he's got to take his medicine. Like, this is what happens, Robbie. You're going to take your medicine now. You did the crime, and this is part of doing the time.
Yep.
Part of it is that you have to deal with the 80-game suspension. Part of it's your legacy. And part of it is that for a week or so, people are going to crawl out of the woodwork in order to take shots at you, and that's what's happening to you right now. It started with the Yankees, who got up on their little soapbox and leaked it to Joel Sherman and everybody else. Oh, we always knew this was the case, which to me really ticks me off because they tried to trade for him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, well,
have that 100, you're 100 on that. Like, you know without a shadow of a doubt that you weren't being spun or in any way manipulated.
I can tell you that there was a conversation that occurred. I can't tell you that the Mariners said no, absolutely not. I don't know exactly how it all went down, but I can tell you that a conversation occurred with the Yankees who were interested in Robbie Cano.
They were inquiring.
Yeah. Now, I'm not saying this got very close or anything. Nothing like that. But the Yankees have inquired about Robinson
Cano. After Robbie had signed his 10-year deal here.
Yes. At some point here in Seattle, the Yankees have inquired about bringing back Robinson Cano.
Their front office.
So, yes, their front office. So spare me the idea that, oh, we didn't ever want, but we always knew. That's why we let him go. Not true. That's a lie. That is the Yankees lying. And then yesterday you get this from Mark Teixeira, who was his teammate when they won in 2009. He goes on with Michael Kay.
Now, when you say you're not surprised, did you suspect it with him?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really want to get into too much detail, Michael. I love Robbie. I'm just not surprised. I don't really want to go too much further. But I think a lot of people are kind of saying the same thing. And Cash kind of... He had to catch himself in an interview a couple days ago, but just not surprised.
So here's the thing. I believe them both.
Yeah, this doesn't infuriate me,
believe
by the way.
I believe you, Mark Teixeira, and I believe you, Brian Cashman. I believe you had your doubts.
Yeah.
But spare me any righteousness when it comes to this.
How is there righteousness by him?
From Mark Teixeira. Then.
Right.
Because the code of baseball generally would be to be like, yeah, I don't know, I don't really feel comfortable talking about that. That's his business. But instead, it's, oh, no, I'm not surprised.
Well, but he's in the media now. Right, he's being paid by ESPN.
Robbie Cano's assistant was on the list for Biogenesis. Now, of course, he had his assistant, buy stuff for him. You know, Alex Rodriguez got popped by Biogenesis, and Melky got popped. They're best friends. When someone gets lumped into that group, it's because there's evidence. There's a paper trail. There's a smoke trail.
No, you're right. There's no righteousness in there at all. I think there's definitely.
No, I mean, why is there righteousness? I get it. He's breaking baseball code. I'm not going to disagree with you there. He's breaking baseball code because he's actually saying some stuff that most guys never do.
I think that's where the righteousness inherently comes from. I'm with Mike on that. He's separating himself.
Absolutely.
He's putting Robinson Cano over here by breaking code. Baseball players, we've had many on Above and Beyond the podcast, and they don't even share stories about guys who haven't been in the league for 30 years.
True.
And this guy's going to go out of his way to make a statement about another baseball player who was on his team at the time when he's most vulnerable.
And if you always knew.
He's separating himself from that guy.
If you always knew and always suspected, then put your money where your mouth is.
Mm-hmm.
Brian Cashman, if that's the case, you still wanted him on your team, knowing and whatever suspicion you had, you still wanted him on your team, so you don't care that much.
Yeah.
And don't tell me that you did. And Mark Teixeira, you won a World Series due in many ways to the contributions of Alex Rodriguez and Robbie Cano. You going to give your ring back?
Nope, because in that era, he also knew that other teams had guys doing it too, that was just the culture of baseball. I get it.
Regardless of that era, continuing today when Robinson
make that
Cano
your
got
tale. Yes, you know what? A lot of guys do this, and yeah. I guess Robbie Cano's in that group. Then don't single him out.
I'm not telling you to not be mad at him. I'm not telling you to.
Robinson Cano singled himself out when he failed a PED test.
Robinson Cano singled himself out when he got caught.
Yes. Yep. Mark Teixeira didn't single him out.
Yeah, and he's further singling himself out because he's not owning it, right? Because he's hiding behind a statement from the Players Association. Further, he was hiding. He didn't tell any of his bosses here, or baseball people here, which I guess, and I don't know this, you're telling me the baseball code was a little surprised that he didn't let anybody know, right? So maybe he's done some things. Well, not maybe. He's done things on his side, too, that's a little uncomfortable, that's a little bit outside of some of that code. I am surprised that Teixeira's doing this. You're right. I am surprised he's breaking some of the baseball code for a guy in Robbie Cano that I think was one heck of a teammate and has been, for us, in what we've witnessed for 5 years, a tremendous teammate.
It's just been odd to see the people who have come out of the woodwork against Cano, one of the all-time great, nice guys, who treats people incredibly, impeccably well. Yep. Justin Verlander's out there taking shots at Robbie Cano.
Yep.
Who was it a few years ago that he had his back? We were looking at the tweets back-to-back, but he's going to sit there and take shots at Robbie Cano? Lance McCullers wants shots at Robbie Cano because he's had some good numbers off him?
Right.
Like, of
Wait,
all the
he
people.
Did for a second, and then
he didn't even have the courage of his conviction afterwards.
Yep.
It's just so smarmy, man. And I'm not sitting here, I'm not trying to just to get Robbie's back. Robbie made his bed, and he gets to lie in it.
Yep.
But some of the people who decide they're going to be to dump on him, I just wish would be quiet. I don't think that Justin Verlander has the right to do that after he stood up for his own teammate.
Mm.
If that's how you feel, then shut up. Mark Teixeira, if this is how you feel, then give back the ring. You won a ring with the contributions that he had. Have you suspected him and Melky Cabrera and Alex Rodriguez and others who were on that team of PEDs at the time? Then put your money where your mouth is and say, my ring doesn't mean that much.
Yeah, but I think it was Kyle that wrote the email earlier this week and admitting to the hypocrisy that we all have in this. You didn't care that D. Gordon got popped in Miami. You know, you didn't care that Nelly got popped when he got popped, but you care now.
Yeah, I don't care that they, quote, cheated the game.
Yep.
I don't play baseball. I don't have enough respect for the game. I don't care if they cheated the Rangers, the Marlins, the Nationals, whatever. But then you cheat the Mariners, now it bothers
me. Yeah, totally. And it feels like you cheat your teammates here. You feel like you're cheating Nelly. You feel like you're cheating Mike Zunino. You feel like you're cheating your skipper, Scott Servais, in a contract year.
The only problem I have with that is that I don't believe that because one guy got popped, the other 24 guys on whatever team are clean.
Mm-hmm.
I just think there's enough dirtiness in this game and every game that I can't get too righteous. If I'm mad at him, I'm mad at him for getting caught.
I guess I just don't feel that Teixeira was critical of Cano for doing steroids. He just said, hey, I was his teammate. This is what I thought. He didn't criticize the decision. He didn't say it makes him a lesser player.
Yep.
He just said, when I was his teammate, this is what I thought.
Yeah, but I think with the moment you say, I've always had my suspicions, you are dirtying up his legacy even more.
You're inferring
that everything he did is not legit.
Yep.
And that's just an unnecessary shot.
And you got to know that your words are going to carry a whole lot more weight than anybody
else. And I want him to know that if that's his inference, if that's what he's saying, or implication, not inference, if that's what he's implying.
Thank you, it's implication,
then my next implication is that so is your World Series in 2009.
Yep.
That ring you're toting around, that ring probably doesn't mean as much as you think it does, Mark.
Do you have the Yankees word, the Laurel Yanny thing? Was there a Yankees one then or not?
I don't know whether there was a Yankees one. I'll have to check on that.
I thought we worked
on
that.
Do we have a Yankees one?
I thought we played a Yankees one earlier. Maybe
not.
Let
me see. Let me see if I have that. Hold on.
No.
The people really like this, I can assure you.
Yankees.
There it is. Hold on.
Yankees.
What do you hear there?
Yankees.
I hear obnoxious.
I hear Yanny.
You can't hear Yanny.
No.
I hear obnoxious.
Kind of like Yankees or something.
Yankees.
Oh, no, I hear Yankees and obnoxious. Boy, I wonder why. 710-710, powered by Coors Light. We'll answer your questions, whatever you got, to finish up a very busy week here on Brock and Salk. Text us at 710-710. It's next on Brock and Salk, 710 ESPN Seattle.
This is Brock and Salk. Answer the question, jerk.
Keep asking questions. Come on, I'll answer them. Come on, I'm here. I'm going to answer your questions, dang it.
That's my question! The question, jerk!
Well, don't just stand there. Answer the question, jerk!
For sure.
All right, let's see what we got from you guys today. 710-710, powered by Coors Light. A lot of questions.
Really?
Yeah, we do. We got a lot.
What a great day.
Let's see. Jerks, what is your favorite restaurant that no one knows about?
Mmm.
reveal your best secrets?
Well, I will say this. I don't know whether people know about it or not, but one of the little hidden gems, and Kyle knows this, I know. Brock, I think, has been there, is the Hawaii barbecue place on the Ave.
Yes.
Is one of the truly great gems in Seattle.
Yes.
We haven't mentioned it in a while.
It's not much for aesthetics.
No.
It makes its money on the food.
And certainly it's confusing if you're trying to look at that menu and have any understanding of what all those numbers are. They're not in any
where's
order.
Where's the Theta Chi plate? Where's the Theta Chi?
Theta Chi is number 15.
I feel like
that's
when I first interned here, I heard just talk of Hawaiian barbecue. Oh, Hawaiian barbecue and going to the M's game. And I was like, wow, this sounds.
It was always for day baseball games. Mariner matinee, you'd grab yourself a.
So Brady Henderson special.
Yes, you go get yourself a Theta Chi plate.
Man.
From Hawaiian barbecue. That place is a hidden gem, though.
Yeah, Ty Tom's is right down there on the Ave as well.
Yeah, legit. You sent me there. That place is good.
Legit. Sit around the kitchen and watch this, guys. They're just phenomenal. Tiny. It's not any bigger than our studio here. It's really good. How about Chinese food? Do you have a hidden Chinese food place?
It's not hidden. I think like a lot of people who live in Northwest or even Northeast Seattle, I go up to Judy Foo's.
Okay.
Snappy Dragon.
Green Leaf, if you like Vietnamese food.
Ooh.
Kind of a hidden gem. It's a hole in the wall in the International District.
Okay.
The Green Leaf?
The Green Leaf.
All right.
It's really good.
Sounds good. I love International District Chinese food. So good. Jerks, what other sports leagues would you like to see have a Hard Knocks type program? NBA, MLB, NHL, MLS. Well, the NHL did for years. They would do their 24/7 on HBO lead up to the January 1st game. It was amazing.
So good.
It's so good. If you can go back, especially the Pittsburgh-Washington one, is one of the best behind-the-scenes footage shows I've ever seen. It's amazing. So good. There's great interplay in that between the refs and the players.
Yep.
It's so cool. They got them mic'd up during
in
the game.
Locker
Have you
room.
Seen that, Lydia? Oh, it's so good. That's when Bruce Boudreau really made his name for himself because he's just cursing nonstop at his team. It's really funny for when he was coaching Washington.
Isn't that
amazing?
Isn't that basically what the NBA already is?
Yes. You don't really need
What are you eating, NBA. Brock?
Nothing.
You can't wait 10 more minutes for the show. Come on, man. You can't eat. You can't wait 5 more minutes? It's 9:50.
Brock has been really, really insensitive today.
So
really insensitive.
Seriously.
Next question.
Lydia, maybe you should start in this one. Jerks, what is your favorite sports-themed book ever?
Wow. That is a really difficult question to answer. If I had to even narrow down to one sport, that
number
would
one. Number one book.
Like, you know not to make Lydia choose between her favorites.
It's so fun, though.
You
right?
know that this is not a spot to
put Howdy, I take offense to that. I woke up early this morning to go get donuts for everybody.
And
I didn't because I wanted to be sensitive to Mike right now. All right?
Thank you, Brock.
I appreciate you taking that shot.
That was nice of you. You're a good friend.
Field of Dreams.
You're a good friend.
It's a tremendous book. Even better than the movie.
I'll say Moneyball, actually. The book is so good. It is so much better than the movie.
That's true, too. Oh, that's 100
But the real answer is anything by Matt Christopher. Starting with Little Lefty, Catcher with the Glass Arm. Any of those Matt Christopher books are by far the best.
Friday Night Lights is one of my favorites.
Yes. Very good.
The one I'm reading right now with my mom in book club, The Game by Ken Dryden.
You're still reading this?
I'm still reading it.
You guys have been reading this for like 2 months.
We go because it's dense. You go chapter by chapter. Have a chapter by chapter discussion.
Wow.
You guys go blankets?
Are you guys close
really
to being done with it?
Do you have a nice fireplace with blankets that you just kind of sit in the chairs back and forth talking? Tell me the scene at the book club. What's the scene? Are you around a kitchen table?
Club, yeah. Sometimes we sit out in my mom's garden, which is gorgeous.
Oh,
she's an amazing
nice.
Gardener.
She is?
Yeah. So we listen to baseball on the radio, sit out in the garden.
Wow.
That sounds pretty awesome.
Like you, Salk.
Me?
Green Thumb.
I am.
Next question.
Mr. Green Thumb.
You like the smell of mint in your garden?
Yes, I have so much mint in my house.
Do you really?
Yes, every time I cut the grass, my entire house smells like a mint julep. Cut my house and you're like, somebody chewing gum around here? What's going on?
Next question.
Let's see. Jerks, what's the best way to get a bad food smell out of your house? Open the windows, candles, or sprays? I'm not a big spray fan. Like, I think that stuff all just ends up like it's like a masking agent.
And
it doesn't work
it's
well.
Like a diuretic.
Yes. It doesn't work well enough. I think you either got to burn it out with a good candle.
Right.
A good one, too. Like, you don't want one of those, like, what are they, Yankee candle? That stuff smells bad.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't like that.
That's a shock.
Yeah, it's fine. I don't mind.
Candles.
I don't like them.
Okay.
They're too sweet.
Anything Yankee you don't like.
It's true.
Shocker.
Ye old Yankee Candle shop. No thanks.
I don't have a great sense of smell, so I don't know. I think it's,
next question.
I think it's everything. I think it's sprays. I think it's fans. I think it's open windows and doors and get a draft. I think you do everything.
This spray stuff.
We were going doors and candles during the big incident in here 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Right. We went and got candles, right?
Yeah, I went candles. Well, not us personally.
No,
but
we
had
the
intern do it.
Yeah. Let's be clear. All right, Jerks, you're going on a five-hour road trip, but you can only choose one of these two things. Either option one, you ride shotgun the entire trip, but you have no control over the musical selections. Or option two, you have to sit in the cramped back seat with two other people, but you are in charge of the music the entire way.
No question. Shotgun. New
question. Wow, I'm going music
back,
all
middle,
day.
All day.
No question.
Back, middle, I'll take a little bit of discomfort for 5 hours to control the music.
Yep.
I don't want you listening to Garth Brooks for five hours.
I am no music
snob. I'd sooner jump
snob.
Out of the car.
I am not an elitist music snob. I love all. Music's like life.
I'll be like that girl in Lady Bird who just launched herself right out of the car while her mom was talking to her.
Super
like, yeah, I'm done. See ya.
Snooty, elitist, musical
right
guy.
Out.
Yep. You get right.
I don't mind
you
being uncomfortable.
Cramped in the back.
I took a 6-hour road trip from Pomona up to San Francisco in the back of a Saturn, a 2-door Saturn. No problem. It's fine.
Really?
Yeah, it's fine.
Smoking cigs?
What do you think? I was 19. I'm sure that was the only thing going on in that car. I'm sure.
Were you a good cigarette smoker?
Best. I think you know that. It's a long time ago, though. I think I was. Certainly prolific.
Were you cocky guy? Cocky cigarette smoker?
No, everyone I knew, every one of my friends was a smoker. What are you going to do? That's how it goes. We don't even talk about that.
No, we don't.
Let's move on. It's the weekend. It's the freaking weekend. I'm about to have me some fun.
I mean, I'm not surprised.
Let's go.
I'm not surprised Mike was a cigarette smoker. I'm really not surprised by that.
Why would you say that?
With all your friends. I'm like Teixeira. Oh. I'm not surprised. The crowd you run.
Judgmental Mark Teixeira. When did you get so judgmental, Mark Teixeira? You were traded for Casey Kochman. Shut up.
What a day. What a week.
All right, we going to go.
Let's go.
John Clayton coming up next. We'll be in Monday morning. Seahawks OTAs again next week. I'm going to be down there at some point. Hope the Mariners can come back and beat Detroit a few times.
Sure hope so.
That was obnoxious last night. So get it going. We'll see you guys Monday morning at 7 a.m. Have a great weekend. Until then, the hay.
Marn.
See everybody.
Yankees.
Obnoxious.
Yankees.
Get to the chopper!